1 Samuel chapter 10. If you want to turn there with me today. On this Pentecost Sunday, we're reminded of how that the work of the Spirit of God in our life can bring change to us. And what God can do whenever we are filled with the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, talking about Saul, and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence. Thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids and another three loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread which thou shalt receive of their hands. And that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Praise God. This account, really, you have to go back a couple of chapters in 1 Samuel to get the full picture of the life and the calling of Saul, who was to become the first king of Israel. This, of course, was written by Samuel the prophet. The first part of 1 Samuel was written by Samuel. And, of course, the account of his death is here. So we know he didn't write that. And it's believed that another prophet, probably Nathan the prophet stepped in and finished up the book, the story of the life of Samson. Samson, Samuel rather, was the last of the judges. There was a period of, we mentioned on Mother's Day about Deborah. There were 350 years in Israel's history when they had judges. They didn't have kings, they had judges. There were about 13 different individuals that God used to be judges over Israel. They would offer counsel. They would help with decision making. They gave spiritual direction to the nation of Israel. But they weren't necessarily kings. But they were more spiritual leaders, spiritual men that directed, men and women that directed the spiritual needs of Israel. Samuel is the last of the judges. And he was a judge until the people became discontented. They got discontented with the situation. And they said, "We want a king over us. We want to be like all of the other nations around us. We want to have a king." And the problem was they wanted to be like all the other nations, but all the other nations were pagan nations. They didn't recognize how blessed that they were to be a theocracy, or having God as their king, and how blessed that they were. But they just said, "We want to be like every other nation." It's really a serious problem when we decide that we want to conform and be like everybody else rather than be transformed, be different. But God has called his people to be different. Amen. To not conform to the ways of the world. But God told Samuel, "Don't take it personal. They haven't rejected you. they've rejected me. That was the word of the Lord. Give them what they want. They want a king, so give them what they want. Sometimes God gives us what we want, even though it's not what we need. Amen. The children of Israel, remember, God was blessing them in the wilderness, raining manna out of heaven. I mean, it was the very diet that they needed. The manna was exactly what they needed, but they began to grumble and complain. They wanted to have meat. The Bible says that God gave them their request. Psalm 106, verse 15. God gave them their request, but he sent leanness unto their soul. He gave them a full belly, but an empty heart. That leanness to their soul. So sometimes God allows you to have what you want, even though it's not what you really need, to help you understand how wonderful the provision of the Lord is for you. And then he warned them. He said, okay, I'm going to let you have a king, but I want you to know that this king is going to, he's going to do nothing but take from you. And in the text there, in chapter 8, it describes that. Here's what he's going to do. He is going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your fields. He's going to take your vineyards. He's going to take a tenth of your seed. He's going to take your servants. He's going to take a tenth of your sheep. Or sorry, it was going to be a taxation. He said, you're going to have a king, but you're going to have, he's going to take and take and take and take from you. That's what's going to happen to you. Chapter 9 then describes how that God gave them the desire of their heart in providing for them a king from the tribe of Benjamin. There was a man there who was a mighty man of God. It says he was a mighty man of power, which really describes the fact that he had great power, great influence, probably great wealth. That was Kish, the father of Saul. Saul, it says, was a goodly man. And it actually uses the terminology in the King James. He was goodlier than any other man in all of Israel. And so he was more influential. He was better looking. I mean, he had the best of qualities. He was the best as far as what man would have to offer. He was the image of what everybody wanted, and you know, he was impressive in every way. And God said, here's your king. Remember when later the Lord chose David to be his replacement? And Samuel comes into the household of Jesse, and there David's older brother Eliab is there, and he's tall, and he's handsome, and he's impressive. And they all are saying, this must be the anointed one. This must be the one. Surely this is the anointed one. But he wasn't the one to be chosen at all. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. That was the choosing of David. But even in the choosing of Saul, God, the hand of God was upon Saul. And we know that the end of Saul's life was tragic. But the calling and the purpose of God for Saul's life was very clear, that God was choosing him to be the king. And from the text that we read here from chapter 10, that when he was anointed of Samuel, the Bible says God turned him into another man. He was transformed. He was so affected by the anointing of God's Spirit upon him. And so the hand of the Lord was upon Saul. And I think that we can see that God has his hand upon every one of us here today. And he wants to put his hand upon you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to empower you to be what he has called you to be. Amen. And God is at work in every area of your life. So when we first are introduced to Saul, he is Kish's son who is sent to look for his lost donkeys. And he spends 3 days. You see, God is even at work in your life, even in the ordinary task of your daily life. I mean, what's so important about looking for donkeys? I mean, Kish no doubt was wealthy and influential, but he sent him, really, it could be described as a very menial task to go and to look for these lost donkeys. But even in that task, even in the ordinary daily task, even in some of the experiences we have from day to day that might not be all that pleasant, things that we experience and we go through, I can imagine this is pretty frustrating to spend 3 days. He probably traveled maybe 40, 50 miles looking for these donkeys. You talk about a frustrating experience, but even in all of that, God was at work. Even all of that, God was directing. God works in the common, daily, ordinary task of your life. God's in the big middle of it. Amen. God is working in it all. Romans 8:28 says he's working in all of it, working it all together for your good. Even the frustrating things and the menial task and the things that are not all that pleasant in your life. God's still at work in your life, even in those tasks that are not really all that pleasant. Amen. Saul thought he was just looking for donkeys, but actually God was using this situation to guide him and to put him in the place that he wanted him to be at the right time in the right place, because God was using the circumstance of this everyday common menial task that he had for him. Amen. God knows what he's doing. I remember 23 years or so, I was about 23 years old, Marsha and I moved to London, and we had one baby and another baby on the way. And I was ready to do something for God in ministry. I ended up working for Comprehensive Care, driving a bus for mentally retarded adults. And I remember driving down the road with those passengers thinking, what in the world am I doing here? Why am I in this task? Why am I doing this job? But even in that task, now when I look back on that experience that I had, God was teaching me some things. He was teaching me some patience. He was teaching me some compassion, some understanding. There were some valuable lessons that over the course of those couple of years that I was learning that I was going to need in the work of the ministry. And God knew that. God is working every day of your life, even in the unpleasant times, even in the tasks that may seem frustrating. You're wondering, Lord, why am I where I'm at right now? God is at work in your life situation. Amen. If you're a child of God, God's at work in your present situation. Amen. Not only that, but God is at work in the people that he's put in your life. He's at work in the people that he's allowed to be in your life. Kish sends him out looking for the lost donkeys, and he says, take a servant with you, one of my servants with you. He was just a servant, almost like a slave that traveled with him to be his servant with him. And so he leaves with his servant. Little does he know that this servant is going to be a key person in his whole experience. That God was going to use this person. God uses people that he puts in our life. People that you may not even imagine that he could ever use, but God puts you in a place, in a particular time, and around the right people that you need to be around. After 3 days, Saul is getting frustrated. He said, my father is going to be more worried about me than he is the lost donkeys. It's time to leave. It's time to go home, and
Let's forget about these lost donkeys. But the servant says, wait a minute. I've heard there's a man of God in this town. I've heard that there's a man of God here in this town. And maybe if we go to him and appeal to him, maybe he will have some answers for us. Maybe he can give us some wisdom. Maybe he can give us some direction. And then Saul says, well, you know, we could, I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, I guess we could go to this seer or this prophet, but we don't have anything to offer him. Our bags are empty. We run out of food. We don't have any supplies. And a common thing would be if you're going to go and see a prophet, a man of God, was to take him a gift. And he said, we don't have anything to offer him. But it's his servant that says, wait a minute. He digs down in his bag real deep and he says, I've got a little coin here. I've got a little silver shekel. It's actually worth about 35 cents. But I do have this little coin here. So God was using this servant to keep Saul on track. Amen. God puts the right people at the right time in your life. God works through the people he places in your life. Amen. Amen. And you may not even understand it. You may not even realize it. But God used this servant to keep Saul on track. He was ready to give up. He was ready to go home. But the servant said, no, there's a man of God here. He can tell us what we need to know. Let's go see. There's a man of God in this town. Amen. God uses people in our life. And God is at work. And then God is working in our life through a sovereign plan, meaning we may not understand it. We may not understand all the ways he's working, but you can trust that God's got a bigger plan. There's a bigger picture that you don't understand, that you do not know about, and how that God is working. God's working on the other side of this circumstance. You would never even know. And he was working in this situation because God had already spoken the day before to the prophet Samuel. Chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came to him. The day before. And he said, tomorrow, about this time, I'm going to send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people. And as soon as Samuel saw Saul coming in to the camp, coming into his city, he knew who he was. He knew he was the one. Behold, this is the man that I spoke to thee of that's going to reign over my people. And so God is sovereign. He's at work in your situation. He's got a plan that you can't even imagine. He's working in ways through people that you could never imagine. And he's working sovereignly on every aspect of your needs and your problems. God is concerned about your life and your future. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's God that is at work. He's directing our steps. And God's plan is always the best plan. Amen. We can go our own way. We can make our own decisions. We can do things the way that we think would be the best. But when you follow after the Lord, God's plan is the best plan. Amen. In the story, he's brought in. Samuel brings him into his house. He gives him a seat of honor and gives him a special portion of food that was set aside especially for him, prepared for him. Actually, it turns out that really the whole feast, the whole dinner is in his honor. And it was all being prepared because God knew that he was coming to Samuel's house. And God was directing in it all. Amen. Just be comforted today and to know that God has a plan for your life. Amen. And he's working in every detail of your life. And what about the timing? The timing was perfect. Because if they had come to Samuel any time earlier, When you read the text, Samuel did not even get home. He was gone on a trip. He didn't even get home till that very day. And so when they come into the village, into the city, they see these maidens that are drawing water from the wells, and they ask, "Do you know where the prophet of God is?" And they said, "Yeah, he's right there. He's right there. He was gone on a trip, but he just now got home. And he's just now home." And so the three-day journey, the three-day search for the lost donkeys was not wasted time, because God was working in perfect timing. Amen. For Saul to come and to have this encounter with Samuel, the man of God. Understand today that God's at work in your life, and he has perfect timing in the way that he's doing it. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we want to rush things. We want to see if we can't figure it out ourselves and make plans ourselves. Put your life into the hands of the Lord. Let him direct your steps, and God will work in perfect timing. Amen. Praise the Lord to work in your behalf. Praise God for that. Amen. And then here he is in our text. He pulls him aside the next morning and says, "Send your servant on ahead." And then he said, "You stand still right here. I'm going to talk to you about the call of God, about the plan of God for your life." And then he poured the oil on top of his head and anointed him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Bible says he became a different man. He was turned into a different man. Amen. So Saul, the son of Kish, who was just doing the ordinary task of chasing after lost donkeys, probably frustrated with it all, but God was working in all of those circumstances. He was working through the people that it was in his life. He was working in the timing to work it out perfectly so that he would meet Samuel at the right place and the right time. I do believe that God could work in your life that way. Amen. And the most important thing was the oil that was poured upon his head, which signified the work of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord that came upon this man. And then he began to prophesy. When you read throughout the chapter, it was Samuel that prophesied, and they said, "Is this the son of Kish? He is so different." When the Spirit of God comes upon your life, you will not be the same. He was turned into a different man. When the Spirit of God comes upon your life, people are going to say, "What has happened to him? What has happened to her? Is this the same person?" No, the Spirit of God comes upon your life and you are turned into a different person. You're changed, transformed by the power and the working of the Spirit of God in your life. Praise God. Amen. And I do believe that even in a service like this, that God arranges the circumstances, the timing, everything about the details. He's sovereignly at work. That means he's in control of every area of our life, even areas that we don't understand, that we could never, ever comprehend. But God is working in every area of your life because he wants to pour his Spirit out upon you and change your life from this day forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So don't get discouraged if things aren't working out the way you want them to work. Don't be discouraged. And God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. And his hand is upon your life. He's put the right people in your life at the right time in your life. And he will touch your life. The thing you need to be most concerned about is, do I have his presence? Do I have his Spirit upon my life? That's the most important thing. And as I do, then he's going to equip me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to empower me. Here's what's so interesting about this story. After that, he pours the oil upon his head. He says, "You're going to leave here. And you're going to meet some men. And they're going to be over by the border of Benjamin." That's where he was from. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. and they have your lost donkeys. They weren't really all that lost. The donkeys were right there close to the border of Benjamin. They were right there. They weren't really lost, but they were lost to him. And God was using this whole circumstance to direct him in his plan, his purpose for his life. And it describes how that God uses strangers to provide for him, for food and to sustain him in all that he was going, all that he was experiencing and going through. That God is using different ones to provide for him. And God brought him to a place where the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, Saul, and you will prophesy, and you will be turned into another man. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the transforming work of the Spirit of God in your life. That's what I need. It's what all of us need. That's what Pentecost is all about. The work of the Spirit of God in our life changes us, empowers us, equips us to be men and women of God, to be used of the Lord mightily. Amen. If you put your trust in the Lord today, you will be turned into a different person. Praise God, by the power of His Spirit. You'll be changed into another man. You'll be changed into another woman. And you'll be completely empowered of the Spirit to do and to accomplish. When you read about the ministry and the leadership of Saul, until he failed God, Saul was mightily used of the Lord, filled with power, filled with an anointing of the Spirit of God that was upon his life. Could I just assure you here today that God has a plan for you and a purpose for your life, and he has brought you here today so that you could commit yourself, your life, your future to the Lord so that he can empower you for whatever calling and purpose that he has for you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. The wonderful example, Lord, to us in the life of Saul, how that you appointed him, how that you worked, Lord, perfectly in the timing of his life. You even used the frustrating experiences, the common experiences, the day-to-day experiences of his life to direct his steps. You put him where he needed to be. You put him around the people that he needed to be around. You put him in the place that he needed to be in at the perfect time. God, you are at work in our lives. And then you touched him and you anointed him and you empowered him to become the man of God that you were calling him to be. And I'm just praying today, Lord. Lord, for those that are in this service today that may feel a little frustrated with their life, frustrated with the way things are going, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that even in all of that, you're at work. Even in our common, everyday circumstances, you're at work, Lord. You're at work. We can't see how the plan is all going to unfold, but Lord, you have put us where we are at the right time for the right purpose, to accomplish what you want to accomplish in our life. And we thank you for that. Praise the name of the Lord. Can we stand together, everybody, all over this building today?